Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. Our foundation scripture comes from John, the 3rd chapter, verses 34, 35, and 36. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Our podcast today is entitled Summer Storm, which is the conclusion to the 2nd chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. Remember, if you would like to get a copy of this book, be sure to go to my website at williamporterlife.com to get order information. For those of you who are writing your book, you can also contact me at my email address, which is waporter4995@yahoo.com. I'm available at any time to assist you. I would also like to take the opportunity to tell you that these series of podcasts are brought to you by Every.Black Entrepreneurship Podcasting Network. For more information about this enterprise, send your email to jimmy.every.black, and our president, Mr. Jimmy Davies, can give you all the information you need. Now let's start our story for today. At the end of the last podcast, the main character, Alan, had been assisted by a lady who had witnessed his car accident on a snowy road while on his way back to Kansas City. Having just gotten out of his car that was partially submerged in a ditch, he was cold, damp, and dismayed of his mishap. But, at the same time, very grateful that someone was there to help him. That someone was a lady who had witnessed the whole thing. After telling him she was going to Kansas City and would be willing to give him a lift, Alan accepted her offer, and soon she directed Alan to the back door of her SUV. He thanked her for helping him and for giving him a lift to where he was going. As Alan slowly walked through the gusting wind and the slush of ice and partially melted snow beneath his feet, he said to himself, "How could I have driven in all this stuff? I'm so cold." Before he got into the lady's vehicle, Alan remembered that he needed to get something from his car, so he quickly returned to his disabled vehicle to get some personal items before returning to get into the lady's vehicle. After getting what he needed, Alan returned to the SUV and got in. He saw that she had two small children with her. With Alan safely inside, the lady returned to the driver's seat and then introduced Alan to her two kids who were sitting in the vehicle. The lady's daughter was sitting next to her in the front seat, and her son was in the back seat sitting next to Alan. With all the paraphernalia that was in the lady's car, clothing, books, and other items, it wasn't very neat. But there was a clear, open space in the back seat beside where her son was sitting. The space was the first thing that Alan noticed when the lady opened the door for him to enter. He then hopped into that space, next to the lady's son. It seemed to him that the space was prepared for someone to sit there. He concluded that he was that person, that God foresaw the accident and knew that he would need the help that he received from this lady. Alan considered her a godsend. Getting a lift from her helped him meditate on what had transpired and allowed him to think about what he would do next in his predicament. Soon, the lady started her drive toward Kansas City with Alan in the back seat. The thought came to Alan's mind again that this lady was a blessing from God. The fact that there was an open space in a vehicle where things were scattered all about, except for that one spot where he sat, was a sign, he thought. It seemed to Alan as though that spot had been prepared just for him from the beginning. He believed that divine intervention created the circumstances that led to the lady being willing to assist him, and she was only able to do that because of that open spot in her vehicle. Not only the availability of a clear spot in a crowded vehicle where he could sit, but the fact that she just happened to be driving behind him, willing to help in his time of need, was a miracle in his eyes. Yes, this too was a sign that God was with him, he felt. Because of this lady, Alan was able to continue a safe journey for the remainder of the trip to his condo. In the meantime, Alan's car was left in the ditch to be retrieved another day. As Alan got comfortable in the lady's vehicle, he was aware that his feet were now drenched with cold, icy water from the ditch. As they continued their journey to Kansas City, he tried to dry himself as much as possible. He removed his soggy socks and rolled his waterlogged pants up as far as they could go to lessen the dampness on his legs. As he looked outside the window of the SUV, he was amazed at the number of vehicles he saw that had overturned and landed on their roofs. The difference between the vehicles that he saw in this condition and his own accident just a few minutes earlier was that now the side of the road was at the same level as the road itself. In other words, there was no depression, no ditches where there was standing water off to the side of the road in the area they were in now. It would have been an even more tragic situation if Alan's car had landed in a similar fashion as the vehicles that he noticed. That being, if his car had flipped and landed on its top in standing water. Car on its top in standing water? Not a good picture. Alan realized that he may not have survived the accident if this would have happened. How could he have unbuckled his seatbelt while partially submerged in standing water? In that position, constrained in his seatbelt, upside down. Furthermore, how could he have opened his door to escape the vehicle with the pressure of the water against the door? Even if he could have unbuckled his seatbelt, at the very least, it would have been difficult for him to get out. That is, being successful in opening the door. If this would have happened, water surely would have rushed into the vehicle, making his predicament even more life-threatening. He might have drowned in his vehicle under those circumstances. It would have been a life-threatening situation. As they continued on their way, Alan shuddered at the possibilities that were held hostage in his mind. He could not get away from the potentially tragic circumstances that could have unfolded. As these thoughts continued to play in Alan's mind, the lady drove cautiously on the treacherous road. They finally arrived at Alan's condo about 30 minutes later. At that time, Alan thanked the lady for her help and felt relieved to finally be back at his residence after such an eventful trip from his parents' house. Again, as he left the car and walking towards his condo, Alan was exposed to the howling wind and driving snow as the weather seemed to have gotten worse. That night, he continued to ponder what had transpired during his drive from Salinas. It certainly was an eventful trip from his parents' house to his condo. And by the time he arrived, the snow had picked up again and had accumulated on the ground to almost 1 foot high. Once inside his residence, Alan took a shower, put on some fresh clothing, sat on his favorite couch, and began to relax and reflect on the whole experience. The first thing that came to his mind was how he would get around town with no vehicle. But more than that, he feared the prospects of informing his parents of the mishap, remembering how his father had encouraged him to wait a day before returning to school. Alan called his parents to give them the news, and to his surprise, while they were very distraught at what had happened, they were compassionate about his situation. His father realized he made a mistake by not taking his advice to remain in Salinas until the storm was over, but he did not take the opportunity to criticize Alan too much. His father knew that it was a learning experience for him. His parents were just happy that Alan was okay physically and thankful that he had come out of his accident in one piece. Alan was about to experience for the first time what it felt like being away in college without a vehicle. When he went to bed, what he expected to be a good night's sleep ended up being a period of tossing and turning. He pondered how fortunate he was to be alive. He remembered the lady that brought him from the accident site to his condo. He continued to see in his mind how several vehicles had overturned on the side of the road as a result of the slippery conditions. Unlike many of these vehicles, Alan's car did not skid off the road onto a flat surface, but into a ditch that was partially filled with water, no less. He played the scene over and over in his mind, envisioning the water as it filled the ditch. He shuddered at the possibility of what could have happened had his car flipped and landed on its top. After sleep finally came, nightmares about the possibility of drowning troubled his slumber. A more immediate concern was his lack of transportation. While his condo was only 2 miles from college, he had concerns about going to and from classes, as well as to other activities. He especially needed a means of travel to do the errands necessary to retrieve his car and to have it serviced. The worst outcome, he imagined, was that his car was a total loss and, therefore, would need to be gotten rid of. If that were to happen, he would need time to look for and purchase a new vehicle. Of course, he anticipated his father would help him with that, because his worst fears came to reality. Alan was informed that his car was totaled, and now he was without any means of transportation. Alan couldn't help thinking back to what Ted had said a few weeks earlier. It was the very thing that ended their friendship. He realized that what Ted said would probably come true at some point, that his car would end up in a salvage yard. He just thought it would not happen so soon, under these circumstances. Alan was willing to give his former friend another chance to renew their relationship. The real question would be whether his friend Ted would be willing to give him another chance at their relationship. At any rate, he had to swallow his pride and ended up giving Ted a call. He explained to Ted what had occurred regarding his accident and talked to him about what went wrong in their relationship. Ted was receptive to Alan's overtures. After they talked some more, Alan arranged a meeting with him at his condo. Ted, who had since purchased his own vehicle, came by Alan's place, and after they talked with one another for a while, they had a meeting of minds and again began to be friendly toward each other. They compared their schedules, and Ted was able to give Alan a lift wherever he needed to go after that. Alan had gained an appreciation of the needs of others through his frustration of loss. He became less absorbed with himself and found a greater concern for other people, Alan's experience taught him that, as Ted had mentioned to him earlier, physical things of this world don't last, so we should not concentrate on them at the expense of neglecting our personal relationships. Alan's concentration on the car he received as a Christmas gift led to his disregard of what had been a good relationship with Ted. Alan cared more about his new car than developing the healthy relationship he had with his friend. Alan just didn't like what Ted said about his car and took it as an offense, an offensive remark about what he cared for so deeply. Alan's relationship with Ted, that had been severed because of the remark, now had been renewed. Alan finally realized that personal relationships are more important than material things. The remainder of the spring semester went rather smoothly for Alan, and with help from Ted, as well as financial support from his father, he was about to find and purchase a vehicle that had been owned previously, but was in good condition. It wasn't the brand new hybrid he received at Christmas that Alan had grown fond of, but he was just thankful that he had something dependable where he could get around without depending on Ted. During the final few weeks of the semester, Alan continued to communicate with Joan through letters and by phone. He talked to her in detail about his dangerous trip back to his condo in Kansas City when he was caught by the storm. She expressed how much she missed him, talked about her schoolwork, and said how she was doing. Having a quiet and unassuming personality, sometimes Joan did not easily express her innermost feelings, but she was always comfortable around Alan because he always treated her with the respect he thought she deserved. In one letter to Alan, Joan talked about how she had developed several acquaintances during her first year in college. She mentioned to him that she had started to be a part of a study group and did some tutoring for students in need of assistance with their schoolwork. One student that she worked with most of the time was Tom, an upperclassman member of the football team who needed special help. It was in algebra, the same subject that she had helped Alan with earlier in the semester. Because Tom was a member of the football team, it was challenging for him to get his schoolwork done in an effective and timely fashion. He was one of the better players on the team, so his coaches wanted to make sure that he did well in his classes. Joan ended her letter to Alan by saying that his letters and phone calls had always helped her through her loneliness without his physical presence and had strengthened her relationship with him. She finished by saying she looked forward to the time when school was out for the summer, when they both could be together again. In her letter to Alan, Joan admitted that she went with Tom to the soda shop, but assured him that it was only for the purpose of completing the work that she had with him as a tutor. She explained that when it was time for the football team at her school to have its annual spring practice retreat, Tom invited her to have a milkshake with him while they completed their work. He knew that because of the retreat, he likely would not have her services as an algebra tutor for a 4-week period. So she wanted to spend the extra time with him, tutoring and having a milkshake. Joan continued to tell Alan by phone and through letters that she couldn't wait until he returned home for the summer vacation. And at that time, she would be out of school too. So they could do all the things that they did before they both went to college. One of Joan's traits was that she was completely honest with Alan. He certainly returned the favor to her. It was a mutually respectful relationship between the two of them. Alan wrote her a letter 3 days later saying he couldn't wait to see her too. He was eager to get back and continue their relationship face-to-face instead of the long-distance association they had to develop since they ended up at different colleges. As Alan returned home to Salinas for the summer, he had a lot to tell his family and friends about his experiences during his first semester in college. First and foremost, he was just thankful to be alive because of his experience with the storm. But one positive of his second semester experience at KCSU was that he received all A grades at the end of the term. Alan had been back in town for 2 weeks without having heard from Joan. He made some phone calls one morning to reach her, but without success. Later that afternoon, he was home alone, so he went out to the mailbox to get the mail for the day. To his surprise, one of the pieces that was delivered was from Joan. It was strange, he thought, for her to send a letter by mail when he was in town. So he opened the letter, and by the time he had finished reading it, he was devastated and heartbroken. She indicated that Tom, the student she was tutoring in algebra, had invited her to go with him to the school's football camp for spring practice. She apologized for not talking to Alan about her summer plans since she had mentioned to him she was looking forward to being with him over the summer. Joan wrote that she felt a certain degree of guilt for not seeing Alan after he had arrived home from KCSU. She also mentioned that there were several activities, both academic and recreational, for the participants at this camp. In the letter, she failed to go into details about those recreational activities. Alan was left to only wonder what his girlfriend was doing at a retreat for the football team with one of their players. Was he jealous? Probably. But he had a right to be, under the circumstances. 2 more weeks passed before Alan heard from Joan again. In her second letter, she informed him that she had developed a relationship with Tom. Joan went into some detail about their time together, but left enough unsaid for Alan to be curious about what they were doing at the camp. Bottom line is that it was confirmed what he had suspected all along, but was in a state of denial about the possibility of his girl being with another guy. But finally, he came to realize that Joan was no longer his, but was under the affection of someone else. Alan again was brokenhearted. It was too much for him to bear, images of Joan in the arms of another guy. He just couldn't find the words to explain his feelings. Numb seemed the best way to describe how he felt. As Alan continued to read the letter, she asked him to understand her situation. Joan wrote, "Please understand, Alan. This guy caught me in a moment of weakness," she told him. Alan thought in response to those words. "Weak? Weak?" she says. "And she expect me to understand?" He continued to think with tears building up in his eyes. He couldn't read any more of the letter after that, so he put it down and laid on the bed, hoping that what he had just read wasn't real, just his imagination. But unfortunately for Alan, it was real. Yes, it was another real storm in his life. Although Joan had always cared for Alan, her emotions concerning Tom overwhelmed her. Those emotions translated into a need for him, of seeing more of Tom even after she returned home from the camp for the duration of the summer. And that's what she told Alan in that letter to him. Again, devastation consumed Alan's being. It was clear to Alan by now that this football player had taken his place in the life of his now former girlfriend. What a traumatic turn of events. He had been caught by another storm, this time the storm of a broken personal relationship. with the one he loved. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back. After the initial shock of what Joan had told him, Alan accepted his broken relationship with her gracefully, but it still hurt a lot. He found some comfort in being with his family, but Alan knew that he would not totally get over the hurt until he returned to KCSU in the fall. He believed that even at that time, his mind would still be on Joan. In his time away from Salinas while at KCSU, Alan certainly fulfilled what he thought was his obligation in staying in close communication with Joan, but he had not been aware of the fact that it wasn't enough. The remainder of the summer for Alan was a long one because of his state of mind due to what had transpired. While he enjoyed being with his family, as he usually did at this time of year, his heart was still with Joan. Summer had been the perfect time to spend an evening with her, watching TV or going out on a date or just being around each other. After all, they were in love. He just could not get her out of his mind. The times when they cuddled up against one another while watching TV and the hours spent talking about how much they cared for each other and about their dreams and future aspirations. Not hearing from her during the long months of summer played havoc with his mind. He started to ask himself, where is she tonight? What is she doing? And he couldn't help wondering why she was with a college football player she was supposed to have been tutoring. Frustration turned to sadness, and sadness turned to numbness. Joan finally called Alan with only 2 weeks left in his summer vacation. She confirmed what she had told him in a letter earlier, that she was romantically involved with a football player at the team's retreat. She explained that the relationship developed from one of helping this player with his schoolwork to one where she had become emotionally, even romantically, involved with him. Joan expressed to Alan that she was still trying to sort out her feelings, both for Tom, the football player, and for her relationship with him. In response to that, Alan said simply, "But Joan, how could you do this to me? I care so much for you." Then she responded, "Oh, Alan, don't make me feel any worse than I already feel. Maybe you'll find someone else when you get back at KCSU." Somehow, Alan wasn't encouraged by those words. It just made him cry even more, right there over the phone. As they continued to talk, she said that some time away from each other would probably be the best course of action at this point. Even though Alan was not ready to hear this, emotionally he was prepared for it, despite the tears he was shedding. At this time, he could only remember what his father suggested to him before he left for college for the first time, that he should broaden his circle of friends and not be tied to Joan so closely. Now, Alan had an opportunity to reconsider that advice. Alan had failed to heed his father's advice to try to avoid the maximum intensity of the snowstorm that ultimately overtook him. This time around, Alan decided not to make the same mistake as he had made with his focus on Joan. He did not want to be caught by another storm in his life because of his unwillingness to listen to the wisdom given to him by his father. Well, in a real sense, the storm was created by Joan's passion for another, and, like the snowstorm he tried to stay ahead of, this storm of love, had already overtaken him. The conversation with Joan ended with Alan being sad because he knew that the relationship he had with her would never be the same. In fact, based on what she told him over the phone, there would be no relationship at all. Nevertheless, he also knew that it was an opportunity to heed his father's guidance and start his life anew upon his return to KCSU in 2 weeks. Finally, Alan became angry with himself over his despondent behavior. He decided to get out of the attitude of pity and soon began to restructure his life. As late summer transitioned into early fall, with only about a week remaining before the start of the fall semester, Alan began to refocus away from Joan and on his return to KCSU for his second year in college. As the school year was soon to start, Alan made a resolution. Yes, a New Year's resolution in September to broaden his relationships, as his father had recommended. After his relationship with Joan went sour, Alan made it through the remaining days of summer and enjoyed the time with his family. Soon, Alan was ready to return to college in Kansas City. Upon his return, he would have a renewed sense of what he should prioritize in his life. When he first went to college, he clearly put too much emphasis on the car he received as a Christmas gift. He quickly learned that physical things, no matter how attractive or glamorous, don't last and are not as important as personal relationships. He also took for granted that Joan would always be there for him, not realizing the effect of being apart from each other for an extended period would have on their relationship. When Alan became more receptive to his father's advice and placed a higher value on broadening his personal relationships, he found himself where he wanted to be in life, even without Joan as his special love. That place was where he became content with who he was, even without the things he desired so much, the girl of his dreams and the vehicle that he loved. Instead, he looked forward to broadening his relationships and making adjustments in his attitudes. His focus now was where he really wanted to be, and that was to be a successful college graduate, despite all of his largely self-inflicted adversity. Let's take another break, and we'll end the story when we return. Stay with us. Welcome back. Alan would return to school with a better perspective of what is important, having a healthy relationship with friends and loved ones. Certainly, that would be the case with Ted because he had neglected his relationship with his friend because of his preoccupation with his new car. And as far as his former girlfriend, Joan, he failed to realize the significance of being away from her, having only a long-distance relationship. Finally, Alan learned that it's always a good idea to recognize the advice given by your parents. By not taking his father's advice seriously, he ended up being caught by the storm, the snowstorm that overtook him. Alan ended up saying to himself, "You live and you learn. Learn from your experiences and move on with your life." He was determined to learn from the storms in his life, both those caused by the weather as well as the stormy relationship he had developed with Joan because of what his father contended, his unhealthy focus on her. He did not anticipate these storms when he first left home for college. Nevertheless, he looked forward to a renewal of life and spirit upon his return to KCSU, having weathered 2 storms. That's our story for today. Be sure to visit the website williamporterlife.com for resources that may be of interest to you. And also keep in mind that I'm available should a need arise in your writing endeavors. In closing, regardless of what you're going through, whether it's good or bad, there's always more. More good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.